We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're answering listener questions on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We are two of the owners here at Roto-Viz, coming with the second show of the week. Back into the swing of things. I'm fired up, as always, for these episodes, Curtis, because I always enjoy answering these listener questions. It's fun to get to apply all of the research, everything that's happening to the site, to these actual real life teams. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, man. I was speaking of applying, I got have you seen the innovation that's occurred with just like a Bic lighter lately? So they did one of the
I have not. So, no, this is out okay. of nowhere.
Well, but I wasn't really paying attention to your lead in because I was like looking at this lighter go. I just lit a candle in the studio here. But they added this little stem on the top of the Bic lighter.
Yep.
So like when you have a candle that burns down.
Yep.
And then you're like, you know, trying to cram your fist down into that thing and light it. Or then you turn the candle upside down and try to light it and the wax drips on you. And then, but you don't always want the big long trigger thing that won't fit in your drawer. You can't put that in your pocket. So they just added the little stem to the little pocket size Bic. I mean, that's good innovation. So, yeah, shout out to Bic for continuously improving their product line. I don't know what was the lead in about. We're talking Dynasty.
No. That wasn't even the lead in. I was talking about. But before we get to that, I want to inquire as to what scent that candle is.
Oh yeah, man. It's vanilla tobacco, which is
interesting.
Oh man, it's just a top notch. If you find that combo, you know, if your wife's anything like mine, she'd go into Marshall's or whatever, you know, like 8 times a week. So if she sees vanilla tobacco, she's got to bring it home.
Well, so my wife actually recently came home with another interesting innovation in the candle world. I had not seen this before, but she got this. It smells awesome. It's like a coffee shop scent, but the actual like wick is made of wood.
Oh yeah,
in there, and when you
it crackles,
it crackles. Yes,
yeah, yeah. Those are great. Yeah, those are great. I think we've only had one. It put off a little bit of smoke, which annoyed my wife when you like first light it.
Yeah.
It's super cool, and it does give it a little bit of more of a campfire vibe. I really like them. If it were up to me, we would still have some. So
nice.
Yeah, good find by Mrs. Cabin.
Yes. All right. So. The reason we are here today is
candle talk. Yeah.
Candles. Zach Kruger, I believe, is a big candle user too. If he's out there.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. Loves candles.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, maybe one time we can get him on and we'll just do a candle episode.
Let's make it our fire takes episode.
Yes. Yes. I see what you did there. I like it. Curtis, I don't know how to transition this nicely. Let's just hit an FPC stat attack. All right. So, this is on its way, but my FFPC stat of the tack today revolves around DK Metcalf. I was looking at some of his, in light of a keeper question, which I'm very interested in getting to, I was looking at some of his advanced stats. And the thing I noticed about him and Tyler Lockett that I think is noticeable or notable, DK was top 10 in a number of advanced metrics, top 10 in air yards per game, intended air yards at 98, also top 10 in routes per target. But what you will see is that both he and Tyler Lockett were both in the 470 range for total routes run. By and large, the exception to most players in the top 10 in routes run, with most guys getting into the 600 range like Diggs, Jefferson, Hollywood. So this is all important when we keep in mind the fact that these were players that had to be efficient with those looks from Russell Wilson because they just were not seeing that many targets. This year, we have the change to right now, Geno Smith or Drew Lock, which if that doesn't, you know, instill confidence in your ability for your wide receivers, then I don't know what does. So this is a buildup that we will get to in the keeper question. But key takeaway here, we could have some rough sailing ahead for DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, a player that Curtis has historically liked. So we will get into that. But reminder, Curtis, tell people about the freemium email and how they can get a little bonus there at the FFPC.
Oh, yeah. So whether you're looking to get into their best ball contests or play a dynasty league, whatever, you can get $25 for free with your first deposit at FFPC. All you got to do is click on the FFPC link and any of the freemium emails that go out from me a couple times a week, and just make your first deposit, create a new account at myffpc.com, and it'll automatically be added to your account when you join your first contest. So nice little benefit there for our RotoViz faithful subscribers. And it is free to sign up for our premium email. Even if you're not a RotoViz subscriber to the site, I'm convinced that if you see some of the teasers of the articles and some of the other cool things that we put in the emails, that you're going to want to subscribe. But you can sign up for free. Just go to our homepage, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and you can enter your information there and get added to our list. One other thing that I wanted to mention, Dave, I see DJ Moore on there.
Yep.
In that top 10 there. And you know, DJ Moore, unlike DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, though he's going to start with a little bit of a disappointment at quarterback, at least we can paint a little bit of a picture to where maybe things would improve, depending on what you think about, you know, Matt Corral. And I was certainly banking on Carolina investing in quarterback. That's why, like, over on Underdog, DJ Moore was one of my top five exposures in the big board qualifier, the early best ball tournament over there. I'm softening that investment a little bit moving forward because his ADP hasn't moved, but I am hoping for, you know, maybe a late September, you know, three games is enough type scenario with Sam Darnold and a switch to Matt Corral for DJ Moore. I think that'd be, you know, pretty exciting because we see him up in that 580 to 600 range in terms of routes run. You know, he had almost 10 targets a game. He has like the type of overall raw opportunity that we would want for a receiver to maybe recover some of this. It's just the air yards conversion itself was the you know, metric that was really holding him down. But you can play over on Underdog with our partnership as well and get $100 with your $100 deposit. That's good in any increment of 10, starting at $10. So just go to underdog.com, use our promo code RotoViz, Dave. Let's get into this keeper discussion.
Yeah, but before we do, I want to mention, if you head over to yankeecandle.com,
Oh boy. Potential sponsors. Hey, yes. They say that the most pure marketing is, you know, for the products that you already use yourself. That's why it's very natural for us to talk about FFPC and Underdog, but Candles does feel like a low key opportunity here. We have to work the lines here and see what we can do.
Well, we have some listeners in high places. So, you know, who knows who we have connected to some candle company out there. Anyway. All right. I love keeper questions. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. I always think they're a really fun way to think about a couple of players in isolation. This question comes in from a gentleman named Matthew. Dave and Curtis, love your show. I'm in a 14-team PPR keeper league. Only one keeper, 8 starters per team, 1 quarterback, 1 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 tight end, 1 flex, DST, and kicker. Coming off a in-caps very bad, disappointing season, went Moneyball at quarterback and came up snake eyes. Fitzmagic, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields. Traded Kirk Cousins midseason to try and salvage something, but it was too late. Good news is I have some keepers worth considering, mainly at wide receiver. His options are DK Metcalf, Devonta Smith, and Jerry Jeudy. At running back, he has Antonio Gibson and Elijah Mitchell. He's leaning towards DK because of his week-to-week upside, but Drew Locke / Geno Smith, pretty ugly, like Devonta and Jeudy, but both are in crowded wide receiver rooms, boom / bust week-to-week. Need some help in advance of the time that he needs to put these in, which is still for a while, but I wanted to get to the question. Curtis, I will let you share your thoughts. I think I know where I'm headed here, though.
Okay, so 14 teams, and we're only starting 8 players per week.
Yep.
But those 8 players also include your defense and your kicker. So you're only starting 6 position players per week. This is a super shallow league.
Yeah,
I mean, just super shallow. So you should be keeping the player with the highest overall upside. I think there's only 2 candidates here that are realistic. So the 2 candidates, I know he listed Devonta and Jeudy. Those are not my candidates. My candidates would be DK and Jeudy. Mm-hmm. And here are the cases for that. Number one, you have to start 2 wide receivers, and you only have to start 1 running back. So the only another way of saying you could start even 3 wide receivers since you have a flex opportunity here. I think the way to either A, win the flex, or to gain any level of positional advantage is going to be through the wide receivers on your squad. So that eliminates the quarterbacks and the running backs. With DK, the team probably won't go get a quarterback. They've said they want to sign DK long term, but you know you could make the option of, I guess, keeping it this player beyond 2022. And if I was just going to look at from a pure dynasty standpoint, I would still have DK as the highest valued asset of all those listed here. Though the outlook, you know, for the reasons that Matt mentioned, is on the downward trajectory. However, non-zero chance that DK is traded this offseason if they can't reach some sort of contract extension agreement. So, you know, that would obviously change things for him. And then I think just the week-to-week touchdown upside still would be higher than any of the other players that have been mentioned here. With Jeudy, we haven't seen a lot, but, you know, the pairing with Russell Wilson and then Nathaniel Hackett coming down to run that offense. I mean, who really knows what the Broncos target distribution is going to look like. But if Jerry Jeudy is any good, you know, he could be on the way to being like the first receiver to get 160 Russell Wilson targets in a season, which would be super exciting. So I think DK is a higher floor option while still having a high ceiling. And it's reasonable to think you'd maybe want to keep him in 2023 as well. Jeudy is probably the ultimate home run pick out of what you have, but it could also be devastating to you if he doesn't end up being the primary pass catcher and in a 14-team league for you to spend your keeper selection on a player that's not a difference maker. You would probably be right back here talking to us next year about a season that went wrong. So those are my 2 candidates. Dave, I'm curious to see if you have the same 2, and then I'll tell you who my pick would be if this was my roster.
Yeah, you know, I was going to try and make a case for Antonio Gibson, but the fact that you only have to start 1 running back. Well, and actually, I'm not even in love with Gibson. I guess I was going to try to see if I could make a case for a running back here just to make it interesting. But I think you definitely have to go with the wide receivers here. I think that Jeudy and DK are where I went. The key piece that came back to for me was the fact that you're only keeping 1 player here. There are seasons to consider in the future, given that I'm still kind of unsure of what Jerry Jeudy is. I thought he was good, but we haven't really seen that be able to fully hit. But I do know that DK Metcalf is very good. I do know that the situation could change there. And it's also possible that DK is good enough that he's able to make things work or sustain relevancy through a year or two of, you know, less than superior quarterback play, less than superior volume. So for me, that's why it felt weird to do it after the stat attack that I did. But I'm still thinking that DK is the pick that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll go there as well. I think if this reader slash question asker does not like the DK defense that we offered, he did mention Devontae or Judy. So if you're saying, guys, you're crazy, I'm not keeping a Seattle Seahawk that's part of their passing attack, then, you know, the Switzerland pick here is Judy, since all three of us had him on our list.
Can I add one more element to this conversation too, Curtis? Because I'm wondering...
I go long on every question. You never have to ask permission to add something else.
Yes, that's true. What I wanted to throw in here... Well, I'm going to kind of throw this question to you because you historically have been a big Tyler Lockett fan. Between Lockett and Metcalf and a change at quarterback, and you think about the way that they play and the way that you would expect them to be used, who do you think is a more translatable wide receiver between quarterbacks, Metcalf and Lockett? Kind of said differently, who do you think requires a more specific quarterback to succeed, Lockett or Metcalf?
Oh, I would say Lockett. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say Lockett because, you know, it's a downfield timing thing. He's moving all over the formation. He's smaller to find on the field in general. He's not going to be a red zone target. He's more of the big play machine, whereas DK is also a big play machine. But he can take a bubble screen to the house. He can also, you know, go up and get jump balls down in the end zone. So, you know, it's really hard for me this year, Dave, because two of my favorite annual targets in every fantasy draft. Like, I try to leave every draft with either Tyler Lockett or Jarvis Landry over the years. Yeah. And right now I can't touch either one of them. And it just hurt. Like, it cuts me all the way to the bone. Like, it really sucks. But that's, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough. What I would say is also, if you look at the AYA tool for just Drew Lock, like, we can zero in on him on the site. And just look at who his most effective battery mates have been in his time in Denver. We had Noah Fant and Tim Patrick with you know, receivers over 80 targets show up, you know, with pretty pedestrian numbers. I mean, 7.23 and 7.75 AYA, you know, to get really excited, you know, you want to be up over 9 or really even into the double digits there. Sometimes is attainable on high target volume, but Cortland Sutton, just 6.05, Jerry Jeudy, 5.79. I would certainly say that Lockett is more of that Jerry Jeudy type player. And of the guys that we've seen mentioned here, I mean, perhaps Fant, coming over to Seattle, maybe that's something we should take note of. That was the most effective battery mate with Lock. So bringing that familiar face over in that trade was probably smart. But Tim Patrick's a bigger guy as well, you know, versus what we see with Judy. So I don't know, not necessarily that's extremely translatable, but just looking at the type of receiver he's gelled with a little bit more, it seems that, you know, he prefers the bigger targets.
Right. And you outlined there what I was expecting to hear. So I think that also might be something to keep in mind as you're considering Metcalf in the context of Seattle in 2022. Moving along, this question comes in from Keanu. Hey guys, fairly new to listening to the pod, but I've been a RotoViz sub for over a year. Love all the content and great work. Appreciate that. Had a really interesting offer sent to me in a Triflex Dynasty League. I had traded up during the startup to get both Burrow and Kyler as my QBs. Very nice. Now we have finished, received an offer as follows. Pitts, Sam Howell, and Matt Corral straight up for Kyler. Don't have a 23rd, first, or second. Only other quarterback on roster is Mitch Trubisky, and tight end rostered are Kmet and Tonyan. Keep up the great work, Keanu. So to rehash that question, He has been offered Pitts, Sam Howell, and Corral for Kyler Murray, with Kyler Murray and Burrow currently being his quarterbacks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Nah, man, you can't do this. You can't, like, if all three players hit, you could get a value return. But I mean, we're talking about trading a top five super flex. I mean, we're talking RotoViz Triflex Dynasty League. This is a super flex format. And Kyler's a top five startup pick there. And to trade him for a tight end and a day two and a day three quarterback, it's just not, I mean, this is very far from being an even up deal for you. So I understand the appeal of wanting to try to find like a third quarterback that could, you know, really help you. But I think you're going to be much better served just starting a non-quarterback in your super flex spot than making this type of deal. If you want to divest from Kyler, I mean, I would recommend that you do it with like the Trevor Lawrence manager or the Tua manager, you know, something like that. Go get a quarterback with a little bit of experience under his belt that could be taking that year two or year three leap. I would look for that before I would look for, you know, one of these quarterbacks that didn't hit draft capital. Well, I mean, it's not even just the quarterbacks that didn't hit draft capital, because I would not consider moving Kyler in a deal for Kenny Pickett either. So like 2022 quarterbacks are not part of the offers for your blue chip quarterback. Right. You got to aim higher, man. Right.
Because none of these players profile to me as the type of quarterbacks that you're going to want in a super flex league. At which point you're really almost making this move from Kyler to Pitts and another. Like, I don't think that this gets the value that you need back into your team. And like Curtis said, if you're going to try to move Kyler, I think you can get a much better haul than this collection of players.
Yeah, I mean, think about this, man. Like, break this down into different, you know, break this down even other ways. Maybe something would resonate with listeners that you're trying to get like a calculation on this.
Yep.
You're talking about trading Kyler for Kyle Pitts plus a rookie second and a rookie third. Like, it's just not
right.
You know, if you're looking at this in the context of a startup, you know, Kyle Pitts is often going to go in the early to mid second round. Sometimes he's a very late first round pick, but to trade up from that area to the top five to select Kyler, you're not only moving up in the first round of the startup, you're moving up one to even potentially two tiers for most players, for most dynasty players. I mean, this is like a guaranteed early first apart. Like, it would need to be Pitts plus Breece Hall to consider, like, in terms of like players this year to consider making a move like this. But if you're looking to strengthen that roster, I would, and you want to do it by selling a QB, I would dangle both Kyler and Burrow but look to move to a player with a little bit more of an established floor, similar ceiling or even higher ceiling, and then also, you know, get those position players. So maybe the structure of a 1-for-3 could work for you. In some cases, this just isn't the right one.
Yeah, and also because it's very likely, I think, that none of those quarterbacks ever to come fruition as the type of player that you're ever going to be able to use. Like, I'd like to say that with Corral, but, you know, there's still a jury out.
Sean and I have been having this debate. We've got our FFPC Pros versus Joe's Dynasty League that we're in. And, you know, we made a move earlier this offseason to get Davante Adams. And so we didn't have our first round pick. We had a second. We kind of traded back a couple of times. And our quarterbacks here are Dak Prescott and Jimmy Garoppolo. So we're in a spot where we're not even in as good a shape as you are with Burrow and Kyler. We're looking for that extra QB. We actually did trade back twice and then took Matt Corral in the later stages of the second over players that we typically would prefer to him. Because if there is a quarterback from the third round of the reality NFL draft this year that could be, could give us that Russell Wilson type hit from round three, I think it probably is Corral when you look at his body work in college. But it's just so rare for those third round reality NFL draft picks to hit as long-term starters. I mean, you're talking about a, you know, a top 5% type outcome for Matt Corral to be a multi-year starter going that late in the NFL draft. So it's definitely, it's not even a flip of a coin. It's, I mean, you know, you're rubbing two wet sticks together, hoping to start fire.
Yeah. Also, I could just go right now into a long tangent about how, you know, how in love I was with Russell Wilson coming out of school and just like how upset I was at him not going higher. But we're going to move on from that. So we have a question coming in from Jason. Hey guys, I love the show. I want to get your thoughts on my dynasty roster and what moves I could make to get my team into championship contention this year. Just barely missed the playoffs the last 2 years. I don't want to waste too many prime Jonathan Taylor years. Settings, 14 teams, 1 QBR, PPR, no tight end premium, 24 roster spots, 1 start, 1 QB, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver. Oh, wait, sorry. I think it's 1 quarterback, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 3 flex, 1 tight end. At quarterback, he has Russell Wilson, Taysom Hill, running backs, Jonathan Taylor, Devin Singletary, Ronald Jones, Nyheim Hines. I'm not even going to read off the rest. Wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Deontay Johnson, Kirk, Juju, Rondell Moore, Robbie Anderson, LaVisca Chenault, Alan Lazard, Dyami Brown, KJ Hamler. Tight ends, Hawkinson, Everett, Brevin Jordan, Tommy Tremble. Picks 2022, 202, and 214, all natural picks in future years. Feel like he's 2 pieces away from having a contender. A lot of middle-of-the-road wide receivers could use another solid wide receiver. Should I try to package picks plus wide receivers for a veteran wide receiver, try to move up from the 202 into the first round? This question came in 7 days ago, so this, you know, might not be super applicable to him now, but we will still answer because I think it's a good exercise. The 105 and 110 have expressed interest in moving their picks, leaning towards trying to get the 105 and hoping Drake / Jameson / Trayon is there. Appreciate the help. All right, Curtis, let's remove the rookie piece consideration right now. Let's just talk about when you look at this roster, where you think the things that need to be addressed are.
Well, the things that it has going for it, you have a positional advantage at your number one position spot at each of your, you know, at each position. So it's a 14 team league, even though it's only 1 QB, starting Russell Wilson in a 14 team league is probably going to be a little bit of an advantage over maybe a third of the teams. Starting Jonathan Taylor is a huge advantage in a 14 team league. Having a core at wide receiver 1 and 2 of CeeDee Lamb and Deontay Johnson, 2 potential wide receiver ones in a 14 team league is a huge advantage. And then having TJ Hawkinson, even though this isn't a tight end premium league, and so that will hold him down a little bit because I don't think that he has the natural touchdown upside of some, like it brings him closer to some of those dart throw type, you know, players like, Hunter Henry and those guys that can score double digit touchdowns on, you know, far fewer targets, unfortunately for you in this case. But, you know, still Hawkinson probably, you know, still a top eight receiver, even in a non-premium format, even if things don't bounce right for him. So you do have a great core of high-end assets here. And you have some players in uncertain situations that really could break out. So I think the question is really more, should I be trying to move some of these veterans in a package, you know, try to trade three quarters for a dollar to move up in the rookie draft if it was going to occur, or do I sit tight and hope some of these players drop out and break out? And I'm leaning more toward the latter. You know, you've got Christian Kirk, who's being paid to be the new alpha in Jacksonville. And we think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good quarterback. We haven't given up on him, and he's got Doug Peterson there to hopefully rehab his career. You know, Christian Kirk could easily be a wide receiver three this season. And if you just get regular wide receiver three production from him, in addition to what CD and Deontay are giving you, that's great. The table is set for Rondale to also potentially have, you know, wide receiver three type production, even if we figure that he's going to play second fiddle to Marquise Brown. But Alan Lazard, Dave and I have mentioned his name a couple times the last couple of weeks. I mean, I think Alan Lazard, you know, range of possible outcomes, he could be a high-end wide receiver too this year. He also might just be what he's been to this point in his career. If Christian Watson and, you know, another mystery candidate, you know, either not on the roster or already on the roster, you know, Amari Rodgers or somebody like that steps forward. But I like Lazard to produce adequate fantasy production for you in a 14-team format. You have the Hail Mary play with KJ Hamler and being tied to Russell Wilson now. I know you didn't draft those guys that way, but now you have that pairing. Singletary, Rojo, you know, you'd like to have a more reliable RB4 here probably, but you only have to start two running backs. So I think Taylor and Singletary is fine. I don't know. I agree that you're probably two players away from being like the paper champion in this league, like being so strong that everyone's like worried and they're going to trade their players away because they don't think it can compete with you. But I actually think this team could win a title without doing anything else at all. And so I think at the time that you wrote this, you had the 202 and the 214. The 202 would be pick 16 overall. You mentioned David Bell. I would love that pick for this team here. And, you know, at the 214, you could be targeting a back like a Tyler Algier, like a Damian Pierce. If those guys are gone, even maybe somebody like going a little early on Pierre Strong or somebody like that, I think to give a little bit of additional upside to that running back core. So I wouldn't panic at all with what you've got here. Oh, I didn't even mention Juju, Dave. Right. So yeah, there's plenty of speculative plays here. Just be patient, man. Let's see what you have like by week five.
Yeah. You know, the thing I was going to say was, in just about every dynasty team you're going to look at, there's going to be something that you look at and you feel like, oh man, like I really need to improve that. In this case, maybe he's looking and he's seeing like, oh, I really wish I could improve running back. No matter how you do it, it's going to be very, very difficult to have a squad you can look at and not see any holes. So I think you make a good point there, Curtis, about not like panicking, not trying to get too far ahead of yourself. You know, one possibility, Curtis, what would you think if you know, this listener was wondering about trying to make a very small incremental move, maybe to get a player that's a backup running back right now for his team, but would have a chance to be a big producer or something to happen to the back in front of him. Do you think he even needs to explore anything like that? Or are we really just sitting completely pat? Because I know people are afraid to sit completely pat.
Yeah, they are. But you wouldn't be sitting pat because you are going to make those second round picks. Yep. Which I think is, you know, investing in the rookie draft is not staying pat. I mean, if you take those picks seriously and you could even trade around, you're not being lazy. To get a team backup that really had the upside, you're in a 14 team league, you're probably talking about having to give up that 202. You know, that 202 might get you somebody like Tony Pollard. If you want to go later, you know, maybe a third round or even that 214 could still get you Darrell Henderson or somebody like that. Or a third round pick maybe could get Rashad Penny. you know, I don't necessarily hate the idea of doing that, but I would almost rather just use your later picks on the rookies and see how it shakes out. Again, you could start almost anyone at RB2 with Jonathan Taylor at your RB1 and still come out ahead in most of your matchups. I do not think lack of a high-end RB2 would be what would hold this team back. Because really, differentiating running back production in 2022, you know, I'm not sure that there's going to be six or seven guys that are separated from the field by 6, 8, 10 points per game. If there's going to be those big guys to separate are going to be potentially Taylor, potentially CMC, and then something super exciting like a fully unlocked Javonte Williams with Melvin Gordon getting injured, or a fully unlocked DeAndre Swift, or an early unlock on Breece Hall. You know, maybe we get a third or fourth guy in there, but any of those guys that you would trade for as back-end RB1s or high-end RB2s, it's just probably not actually giving you the punch. It just makes you feel better when you set your lineup. I don't know. I'm glad that Jason is grinding this roster in May. And I'm going to really be pulling for this roster, because there's enough players here at wide receiver that you have that could potentially break out, that I think all the elements are here. And I guess a bailout plan would potentially be, you know, if you wanted to just trade one of those speculative receivers for a running back in the range that we were talking about, rather than giving up a rookie pick, trading Rondale, trading Juju, those are probably easier to move than Christian Kirk, because I think that he's got the Jacksonville stigma tied to him there. You know, maybe pedal Juju to the Mahomes manager, pedal Rondale to the Kyler manager. And, you know, maybe you can find something there, and then you can wait on either Lazard or Kirk to break out and having, you know, transition one of those assets into a running back.
All right. We have to bring up again and again, because you made one point in there that I love, that I think we should mention, you know, a lot on the show as we go forward, about, you know, on paper, sometimes having that like stronger RB2 can feel like something important, but lots of times those are players that you don't even really know what's going to happen. And it hasn't really made your team that much stronger. So that's a super interesting point. We could contextualize that or express it a little bit better. I thought you made it very well, or you put it very well when you actually said it. So I just wanted to mention that. I think that's all we have for today though, Curtis.
Yeah, I think it was breathing in this vanilla tobacco candle for the last 30 minutes of our chat here that it really gave me the clarity of thought that I needed to bring that one home.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.